Short break over the last month or so. Just as a reminder, if you were maybe to boil down Mark's gospel into a little phrase, you might say Jesus is King. And the first half of Mark's gospel helps us understand that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the King. And then the second half of Mark's gospel, we find out what kind of king Mark is. Jesus is. Mark's not the king. Jesus is the king. Good. That's the first point of the sermon. We find out what kind of king Jesus is. He's the king who's going to go to the cross. And so Mark starts his gospel, Mark 1 verse 1, the beginning of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in Mark chapter 4, which is where we've landed this evening, Jesus, throughout the chapter, tells various parables about his kingdom, about the king's kingdom, the kingdom of God, which, as we find out in verse 15 of chapter 1, is central to Jesus' message. In Mark chapter 1, he comes proclaiming into Galilee, and he says, "Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is here, is at hand." And so here in Mark chapter 4, we're going to find out a little bit about the kingdom of Jesus. And one picture that runs through chapter 4 is Jesus likening his kingdom in various ways to the picture of a seed. And in the first parable, the parable of the sower, or the parable of the soils, as it's sometimes called, he says that in verse 14, the sower sows the word. So the kingdom of God spreads as the seed of the word goes out. The kingdom of God spreads and grows through the true hearing of the word. Listening is really important in this chapter. Jesus begins verse 3, "Listen." And that's a really strong word in the original language. Because, as I'm sure we all know, there's listening and there's listening, right? There's the kind of listening you do as you're walking through Lime Square and the background music's going on and it's all the 90s pop that's going on in your ears and you try and block it out. There's the kind of listening that my daughter often does when, and if, you know, if you've spent time with a child, you'd have seen this happen before, where you ask them to do something and they hear you, but they don't do it. And so today I had to sit down and have a chat with my little daughter and say, "Hey, you need to listen to me. You need to listen to what I say." Because she had heard me, but she hadn't done what I said. She hadn't taken it in. She hadn't let that what I said affect her. Quite the opposite, in fact. She hadn't taken hold of what I said. There's listening and there's listening. Listening is really important. Listening and accepting the word is how you enter Jesus' kingdom. It was interesting here, as Hepzibah read, it struck me that every one of the soils describes a hearer of the word. Someone who hears, but. I wonder if you've ever been in that position. You've heard, but I just need to get this done first. I've heard this, but here's what's going on in my life, and I'm just too busy to think about what God's got to say. But then the good soil is the one who hears and accepts. Listening is important because in verses 10 and 11, we find out that Jesus tells parables as a way of distinguishing who is in the kingdom and who is not. Those who hear and understand the parables and accept the parables, they are in the kingdom. They are the ones who have been given the secret of the kingdom. And those who don't are not part of Jesus' kingdom. Listening matters. How we listen matters. Are we going to listen a bit like, and treat God a bit like background noise? We're quite good at that in this culture. Lots of us, I often do the, whenever I do the weekly shop, I'll go around Aldi with some music in my ear, and there'll be lots of things going on. And are we going to treat God like that, like background noise, like periphery, or are we going to take in his word? Are we going to hear and accept? Are we going to be good soil? We're going to spend most of our time tonight talking about seeds. Because I say, this parable, and then the parable from verse 26, which we're going to look at next week, and then the parable, I think, the week after, about the kingdom of God being like a mustard seed. This picture of seed runs through the whole chapter. And as we see verse 14, the picture of the sower goes out, he scatters this seed, and that seed in this parable is representing the word of God, the message of the gospel. So the first thing, what are seeds like? Seeds are pretty ordinary. Seeds are small. They look weak. Some seeds I could fit maybe a dozen on my fingertip. Seeds don't look impressive. Poppy, my daughter, for one of her birthdays, we gave her some poppy seeds. You can guess why. But she spilt them on the floor. And you know what? We tried to pick a few up, but we weren't that fussed because seeds, right? They're small. They look weak. They don't often look unimpressive. And you could probably say the same for the kingdom of God. In this world, at times, it can look unimpressive. It can feel small. It can feel weak. The word of God, sometimes, for being honest, I have to make myself pray before I get up to do a sermon. Because I'm like, man, I'm just so weak. What are my words going to do? The answer is my words have no power. But it's all about Jesus and his Holy Spirit empowering them. But sometimes when you look at the marketing strategies of big businesses, the snazzy new Apple advert, and then we've got the same old story. You can feel a bit weak. You can feel a bit unimportant. The kingdom of God can seem small. And it does look small to the world. It does look irrelevant. It does look unimportant to the people that don't believe it and trust it. Little seed. But what strikes me about the sower, verse 3, behold, a sower went out to sow. What does the sower do? He just does his job. He just goes and he sows. The sower goes out not to try and reinvent the wheel, not to try and be anything extra. He just goes out to sow. He sows. He sows. He spreads the seed. And I was reading this week that the strategy of farming back in the day, in this time, in first century Israel, is you would just go out and scatter. Maybe not exactly like this, but you wouldn't check the ground first. You would just spread your seed far and wide. Isn't it interesting that the sower just sows, and he doesn't go just to the good soil and go, right, we're just going to go right here, going to pack it all in, just the good. He scatters it far and wide, indiscriminately. He doesn't check exactly where he's scattering it. He just scatters, liberally, indiscriminately. And he sticks to his task. Perhaps it got boring. Perhaps it got repetitive going out again and again, sowing, sowing, sowing. Perhaps year on year, just got to keep going. Perhaps the task got wearisome. But he keeps sowing. The sower went out to sow. And I think that's just a really helpful reminder to us. When we feel weak, when we feel like we've not got much to give, just keep sowing. Keep spreading. Don't try and choose who are the people who might be receptive and who might not. Just, if you have an opportunity, sow the word. If you get a chance, sow. If someone asks you a question about what you did on a Sunday, just sow. If someone says, that situation in your life sounded really hard, how did you get through it? Sow the seed of Jesus. If someone asks you what's the most important thing in your life and you believe and trust in Jesus, sow. If you get an opportunity to share what keeps you going, what your hope is, sow. Just keep sowing. It may seem small, it may seem weak, but that's what we are called to do. And that's the parable in verses 21 and 22. A lamp is brought, Jesus asks, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Imagine if we went to IKEA and brought one of these finest uplighters and just put a bucket on it. Look silly, wouldn't it? For three lamps with buckets on them. Pointless, right? You don't buy a lamp to put it under a basket, especially in first century Israel, when you didn't have big electric lights in the ceiling. They'd get an oil lamp and they'd light it and they'd put it in the highest, most prominent place, because that's what it's for lighting up the room. And the word of God is not meant to be hidden. It's not meant to be concealed. It's meant to be scattered. It's meant to be sown. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to be chucked out wherever we get the opportunity. We can't make it grow. We don't make the seeds grow. We don't choose who's good soil and who's not. We are called to sow. The sower went out to sow. Keep talking about seeds. Seeds are weak and small, but aren't seeds also really, really powerful? If you put a rock, now rocks look bigger and stronger and more powerful than a seed, but you put a rock in the ground, nothing happens. At least I don't think anything happens. It just sits there. If you put a pound coin in the ground, that's more valuable than a seed. Buy a few packets of seeds for a pound coin, put that in the ground, just gets all moldy. And at some point, a child will find it and go, yes. But apart from that, nothing will happen. And you put a diamond in the ground, so valuable, so precious, nothing happens. Put a seed in the ground. What pops up? Maybe a beautiful flower, a glorious flower that someone goes, oh, amazing. Maybe a tree that's going to stand there for 200 years comes from this little tiny seed, or an acorn, something small, insignificant. Maybe some fruit that sustains life, that feeds people. Seeds are small, but they're really, really powerful, because from these seeds come life. And the offer to us is that if we would be good soil, if we would hear the word and accept it, if we would let the word go down deep into our hearts, the very life of God will fill us. The very life of God will come and change us and give us fullness of life, eternal life. And not just like a bit of eternal life, not just a bit of life, but abundant, super abundant, lavish life, ever increasing life. Verse 8, the seeds that fell onto the good soil produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Read this week that a good yield in farming terms, again, thinking about first century, I have very little knowledge of farming if that didn't come across, but anyway, a good yield is 10-fold. One seed produces 10 crops or whatever. That's a good yield. The seed of the gospel, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, ever-increasing fruit, unimaginable amounts of fruit in farming terms. Let me give you some real-life examples of the unimaginable fruit. I read an article this week of some true stories from the country of Iran. Iran, historically one of the most hostile countries to the gospel, maybe the smallest number of Christians, until about 1980. And since then, it's been the place where there's been more converts, more people coming to Christ than any other place in the world. One of the fastest growing Christian populations in the world. Here's three really quick stories. First one's about a guy called Kamran. And he was a violent man who used to sell drugs and weapons. One day, a friend gave him a New Testament. After reading for five consecutive days, Kamran gave his life to Jesus. When his family and friends saw his transformed life over the ensuing months, many of them also came to faith. A church now meets in Kamran's house. It's pretty cool, right? Seeds are small, powerful. The word of God can seem small, changes lives. Reza was a mullah. Don't know if I said that right, but it's a Muslim scholar who hoped to become, an Ayatollah. I'm sorry if I said that wrong, but a Shiite leader. One day, while studying in an Islamic seminary in Iran, he found a New Testament that had been boldly left in the library. Out of curiosity, he picked it up and was deeply shaken. Over time, he fell in love with Jesus. Today, Reza is a trained church planter serving in the region of Iran. Seeds are small, but powerful. God's word looks small, but brings unimaginable fruit. Here's the last one. It starts off quite a chastening story, but it's an amazing transformation. Fatima's earliest memories were of being raped by her brothers. At age 11, she was sold in marriage to a young drug addict who abused her, then divorced her when she was 17. Upon returning home, she was raped again until she decided to leave. On the streets, she heard the gospel preached, and she trusted Jesus. In time, she married a Christian man. As they were receiving training in evangelism and church planting, Fatima felt called to go back home and witness to her family. Her entire family repented and gave their lives to the Lord. The first church Fatima and her husband planted was in her childhood home. The word of God looks small. It can feel weak, but doesn't it produce the most unimaginable fruit? I read that story in that last one and it's almost moved to tears. And it was reminding me of that song we sang earlier today, "In God Be the Glory." Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God, the promise found in his word, found in that seed. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Seeds look small, but they are really, really strong. They're really, really powerful. The word of God can seem small, but it is really, really powerful. And finally, the source of the power of a seed is in its weakness. You see, a seed, in order to produce life, has to go into the ground, has to be buried, has to die in order to produce life. And isn't that the pattern of the message? The very message itself, the message of the king of this kingdom who himself went into the ground, who was dead and buried for 3 days, and then rose to unstoppable, glorious, everlasting life. And he says later in Mark's gospel, "If anyone would follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me." You see, the pattern of the message, the pattern of the word of God is that through death comes life. Through seeming defeat comes victory. And to the world that looks like foolishness, the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, to those who don't believe it. But to us who are being saved, it is the wisdom and the power of God. Romans chapter 1, he says, not just that the gospel, not just the word of God is powerful, but he says the gospel is the power of salvation to those who believe. It's the message of death to life, because it is all about the Savior who went from death to life and calls other people, calls anyone who would hear his word and accept it from death to life. And so, here's a couple of implications as we finish. Be careful how you hear. Are you truly listening? You see, what was the problem with the places the seeds fell and didn't take root? The problem was depth. You see, the seeds that fell on the path, they were just snatched away, picked up. The seeds that fell on the rocky ground couldn't take root. So when the hard times came, fell away. The seeds that fell among the thorns, again, choked. They heard, but the cares of the world pulled them away. But the good soil, the seeds fall and they go down deep and are covered and produces unimaginable fruit. It's not about being good. We heard that this morning. It's not about being clever and believing the right things and having all the answers. It's not about doing religious works. It's about being good soil. It's about accepting the word, letting it go down deep into your heart, pushing it down deep and letting it impact you so that you are changed, so that fruit is produced, so that your life is changed. An example, we've been looking at Galatians in the morning service. In Galatians 2, where Paul confronts Peter, he confronts Peter because Peter's been saying, the Jewish Christians aren't going to eat with the Gentile Christians, because there's still seeds of kind of racism in his heart, where he said he's grown up in a Jewish background and he says, the Jewish people are better than Gentile people. There's still that in his heart. And what does Paul say to him? He doesn't say, Peter, you need to be a more loving person. You need to do this, this, and that. He says, no, Peter, you're not living in step with the gospel. He's saying, Peter, you haven't pushed the word down deep enough into your heart. Peter, you haven't let the word impact you in the way it needs to. Are we going to be a people that push and let the word go down deep into our hearts? Are we going to be a people that are good soil, that allow the word to impact every single part of our lives, to take root in every single area of life? Are we going to listen? Are we going to truly listen? Or are we going to hear, but I need to go do this. Hear, but I actually want to keep living that way. Are we going to be good soil? And lastly, if there is anyone here who is listening and perhaps you are thinking, am I in the kingdom of God? What? How do I get into this kingdom? How do I go from death to life? How do I see this? Got the life of God growing in me? Well, let's just finish by reading very clearly the words of Jesus. Who was the good soil? Who are the people who are in the kingdom? Verse 20. Those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it. If you hear the gospel message, the message of Jesus dying on the cross for your sins and going from death to life, and you accept it, like we heard this morning, and put your trust in it, stop relying on yourself, rely on Jesus, put your trust in him, good soil. If you accept the word of Jesus, you will be part of his kingdom forever, and you'll never be chucked out. If you accept his word, and you keep accepting his word, he will produce unimaginable fruit in your life. Let's be people that listen and accept the word. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you for your kingdom. And we know we have no right to be part of your kingdom. We have no claim to be yours apart from your love and your death and your resurrection. And thank you that you have proclaimed that word to us and invited us into your kingdom. And Jesus, help us to be sowers of that word. Help us to be sowers of that good news. Help us to be people that trust in your word to do its work and trust in it, in the power of your word. And help us to be good soil, to push that word down deep into our lives. Would you produce fruit in our lives, change in our lives, life, true life in our lives, more than we could imagine? We pray in your name. Amen.
We're continuing prayer. I'd love us to pray for the shepherds as well. So in that prayer, we'll be praying for them. And Paul's got malaria at the moment, so we're going to pray for him.